Such a romantic day today, Valentine's Day, and we're your Valentines, Bill and Wendy.
Yes.
They made us say that.
We didn't want to say it, but we're wearing pink. We've got frosting on us. It's ridiculous.
Clinical psychologist, certified life coach, parenting relationship expert, author, host of Undue Anxiety, friend of ours, Dr. John Duffy in the studio. Hello.
Hi, guys. Good to be here.
There can't be any undue anxiety on Valentine's Day. That's impossible.
None whatsoever.
Zero.
Everyone knows exactly what they're
right.
doing. The plans have been set for months. People are ready.
Yeah, it's the most perfect day of the year for everybody.
Exactly.
Although, didn't you do something for your wife a little before Valentine's Day, as I saw on social media?
I tend to protest this day, the specific day.
Interesting.
So I like to do something the day before. And so I usually buy Julie flowers or do something. And yesterday I bought her flowers and I put them in her art studio where she works. And I didn't like the way things looked. So I found a filthy paint-covered tarp, and I put that over the table, and somehow I got props for the tarp.
It was a drop cloth, and it looked very artistic, and she should actually paint what you gave her.
Well, I love that idea, but I didn't know that the props would go to not the flowers, but in fact the
You're a liar. You had everything planned out. You're really the best husband ever.
I hate to change the mood, but something awful took place in the city as we lost one of our men in blue. You have done some work with the police over the years.
You know
a little bit about the psyche of what goes on in a police officer's mind. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, years ago, I did some consulting work with a few precincts in the city police departments in the suburbs, talking about emotional intelligence, talking about being aware of your emotions, being vulnerable enough to express them, and just kind of getting into an emotional place where you can do the job. And there were a couple of overriding themes that kind of jumped out of that work. One of them that struck me was boredom. Like oftentimes, this is a thankless, boring, endless job. These shifts go on forever, and oftentimes nothing happens. And then there are these moments, like what happened yesterday, that brings everything to the fore, every emotion to the fore. It is terrifying and reminds these guys and these women of the peril that they're in on a daily basis, because it's easy in the day-to-day-to-day to forget that. Because it just feels like I'm just going to work and doing my job and getting coffee and, you know,
but
like
John,
anybody
do
else.
Do you think some of the forgetting the peril, is that a built-in defense mechanism? Because if you were a police officer and you thought about the danger all the time, you
wouldn't go to work.
No.
No, you have to be able to compartmentalize that and put that into a different part of your brain so that you can function when something happens, you know?
Yeah.
If you can't do that, then I think you are kind of on this high alert that a lot of anxious people are on all the time.
Right.
And then you're less effective in doing that job. And that's what we were trying to do, is kind of manage that anxiety, whether it be driven by boredom or driven by the fear that something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking about Commander Paul Bauer, 53 years old, 11-year-old daughter, a wife that he leaves behind. I didn't know him. I was listening as this news was breaking, and I can't stop thinking about him. It's Valentine's Day. I can't stop thinking about his wife and his daughter don't have their special Valentine today. I can't imagine what his wife is going through, like being mad at him for going after this perpetrator, but then being proud of him for being such a hero. I can't even imagine what she's going through today.
Yeah, and the only good news there is there's so much support for families when things like this happen. So one thing I know that the Chicago Police Department is set up for is to provide a lot of ongoing support to this woman who lost her husband, to this girl who lost her father. I suspect that as best they can be, they'll be taken care of emotionally and financially, and that's the only comfort I can find in that whole story, Wendy. But the truth is, you're right. You know, like, this is part of the job. And one thing we were talking about years ago, and I don't know how far they've come in this, is preparing families that something like this could happen. If it doesn't happen directly to their loved one, it could very well happen to somebody they're close to, and that they're going to have to deal with the fallout of that, because this is an emotional job.
I just can't imagine, you know, and you should take this to heart for everyone out there. You know, never leave to go to work angry because you just never know. I know that everyone married to a police officer, living with one or has one as a parent, expects them to be home for dinner that night. It doesn't always happen that way.
So true. You know, one thing I was thinking we might talk about when it comes to Valentine's Day is how stingy we are with the words "I love you."
Yeah.
And in this case, you know, God, I hope they had an opportunity to say it.
So if you could,
yeah,
define that X factor that, that dangerous jobs have. You know, I understand that any one of us could go at any moment. There's no question in my mind. I understand that. But when you are a policeman and when you are a fireman and there's other jobs where danger is an element to the job, what do you have to do to mentally prepare yourself on any given day to know that it could potentially be your last day?
In my experience, there are a couple of things that play into that. One is this kind of like, oddly enough, given the circumstances, this zest for life. Like, you know, a lot of the officers I met were full of life and excited about their lives and excited about their work and driven to serve. And this was their biggest thing, is they wanted to serve in the best way they could. And to a person, I don't remember anybody feeling that this wasn't their best way. You know, and so I think that that X factor is just the wish to do the best job they can.
Yeah.
And they're willing to put themselves like soldiers, like firefighters, into harm's way in order to do that, knowing full well that if something happens, they will have gone the way they would have chosen to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill, you mentioned something off the air that there were other people in the news who died yesterday, and Commander Paul Bauer is getting the attention. In my heart, I'm thinking this is a public servant who probably protected so many more people by doing what he did at the Thompson Center in a very busy afternoon. The police officers have been getting such a bad rap lately with there are some bad ones.
Yeah.
There definitely are.
Yeah.
But when you hear these stories come forward of all that Commander Bauer did, it really makes you think that this was a really decorated, wonderful human being, and there are some out there.
It's an important reminder in the wake of kind of this onslaught of news about, you know, police officers being abusive to certain ethnic groups and things like that, that by and large, the people who choose to serve do so for a reason, right? You know, and these are by and large really, really good people.
As you worked with these police officers,
what
did you learn about them that surprised you? Was there anything that came across that you just went, wow, they're wired a little bit differently from most of us?
Yeah, there were a couple of things. One is they're way tougher than me. They're, they're willing to take on risks that most of us would not be willing to take on.
Yeah.
So there's this little bit of daredevil element. I went in thinking what I'm going to be working with is a dearth of emotional intelligence. I'm going to have to train that to these people.
Right.
I did not find that to be the case. You know, no. I think these people, by and large, are really good and maybe well trained at reading people and understanding their own emotions and keeping those in check, so that they can understand somebody else's, especially somebody who might cause them
right.
some kind of danger or somebody else in the public. So they really seem to have a degree of emotional intelligence that honestly, that surprised me the most.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to see that. I thought I was going to be teaching that.
What do you make of, I'm sure you've seen this, police officers have talked about this and you've probably seen it on TV shows or movies where they're trained in a dangerous situation to have this calming effect in the way that they speak. They're trying to find the level of whoever they're trying to talk down from doing something
right.
horrible by using a calming tone and making everything an even playing field. That's brilliant.
It's brilliant. And the idea behind that, from what I understand, is if somebody's in crisis, they're likely to do something foolish that they might not do otherwise. If you can take the crisis out of it, if you can make the situation calm, if you can really give somebody the impression that things are under control here, everything's going to be fine, everything's going to work out the way it's supposed to, and mean it, you know, with some degree of authenticity. You know, not necessarily will you be walking home free today, but we're all going to survive this as long as you can meet me on this level where I am.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the psychology behind that.
And we forget that sometimes because even my younger son, Dylan, tells me, Mom, I don't like that tone. And I know it's funny that a parent should be saying that to a kid.
Right.
But sometimes, you know, it's not a crisis and I act like it is. So You know, you got to watch how you speak.
Absolutely. True in most things in life, right? Crises don't help us much.
No. And, you know, fire with fire, big bomb explodes. So one needs to be calm.
John, I have to ask you one more question about this. And it's kind of a dark question. And then we'll take a break. And we'll come back and talk about something else. I've heard police officers talk about this. And actually, if you ever read the book, The New Centurions by Joseph Wombat deals with this a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that when police officers are done with their job, I guess you could compare this to astronauts, too, who have an element of this. There's something missing. They're used to a certain level of excitement that once they're away from the job, they don't have anymore. A lot of times it leads to divorce or to suicide.
Yes.
Horrible, horrible things. What do you make of this? There is something in your brain. There is some sort of adrenaline from a job like that that you can't seem to recapture, right?
Yes, absolutely, Bill. Most of us gain some degree of purpose from our work.
Yeah.
But it's amped up, I think, when you're a police officer and you have this degree of purpose every single day. And then one day, suddenly you are out of that job, right?
Yeah.
You are retired. And to suddenly be without that day-to-day sense of purpose, it's depressing. It's anxiety-provoking. You don't know what to do with your time. I think we're doing a better job now of easing people into that retirement.
Yeah.
But it is really, really difficult. Psychologically, it's hard to find that sense of purpose post that kind of work, that intensive kind of work.
Sure.
After it's over. So you're absolutely right.
John Duffy is our guest. If you'd like to comment, if you have any questions, we're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or you can text us there. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I got sexy there because it's Valentine's Day.
I noticed that. Dr. John Duffy is here. We were kidding earlier saying there can't be any stress or pressure on Valentine's Day, but there is actually a little bit.
Not at all.
Just
I think there's
bit.
A little bit out there.
Yeah.
I think CVS's lines and every florist's lines are jam-packed with guys trying to figure it out.
Can I tell you why? Here's my theory, John. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. A lot of women will say, I know it's Valentine's Day, but you don't have to get me anything. We're in love. I know I love you. You love me.
Yeah.
You don't have to get me anything. But if you don't get her anything, it's not going to go good.
Never in a million years believe
trap.
That, right? That's a trap.
That's a trap.
For sure a trap. And, you know, it is an opportunity. I kind of protest Valentine's Day to some extent, but it is an opportunity to celebrate your relationship. But first, you have to tend to it. And this mm-hmm. is the problem I have with a lot of people is they expect like fireworks to happen on Valentine's Day when they haven't really paid attention to each other. They haven't faced each other and mm-hmm. looked each other in the eye for, 11 months. And now they expect like,
this is the magical day.
This is going to be a big night. Yeah. And so my wife and I actually stumbled upon an exercise that is super cheesy. I'm going to warn you.
All right.
But actually works, and I encourage this for people on Valentine's Day. So what we were trying to do was kind of coach each other and write down all the great things about ourselves.
Yourselves as a couple?
About ourselves individually.
Individually.
This had nothing to do with Valentine's Day. This was probably in December.
Oh.
And Julie said, what if we did this for each other? What if I wrote for you because you're having trouble writing great things about you. I'm having trouble writing great things about me. So let's switch it up. And this was astonishing to both of us to hear our partner talk about how amazing we were.
Yeah.
And we realized, we never do this. And I don't know if anybody ever does this. So
yeah.
If there's an exercise I encourage that you might find to be a revelation today, it would be that. It'd be sitting down with your partner, talking to them about all the things that you are fond of in them, that you admire in them, that you think is great about them.
What if I came up with like 166 for my wife and she only had two for me? Would that be bad?
It's all, the two are weighted.
Yeah,
so I'm
right.
Sure it evens out.
And
I'm sure
of it. You would at least know that what you have to work on because then you'd see
right.
the great things she did and you're
right.
like, maybe I should do that.
Yeah, all right. That's me.
That is a great idea because I'm serious. When you go through the rigmarole of everyday activities and you have younger kids, you do forget about your spouse sometimes. And like the goofiest things will make me happy. I saw Jimmy Mack out there shoveling and I took a picture of him like all bundled up and I said, thanks for taking care of us. And he looked at me like, what?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What do you need? I'm like, nothing. It was just really awesome to see you out there working so hard.
Yeah.
And I took a picture of him.
So it's those little things that you do and those little things that you note and appreciate. I think that's what carries you through the year. So
right.
even if you fumble on Valentine's Day, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
My wife and daughters do this to me all the time. They'll write me letters, like either for my birthday or for Father's Day or something like this. And I just tear
you
up.
Weep.
I can't even. As soon as they hand me the envelope, I start crying. It's sick. It's so sick. But it is nice to hear the way you're perceived by the people you care the most about.
Yeah,
right?
and
you
take,
don't hear it enough.
No,
yeah.
We take each other for granted way too often. The people we care, and sometimes it goes way too far, and we treat each other with animosity, right? The people we love the most. And
right.
So in order to kind of correct for that, eventually at times we have to remind ourselves, why am I with this person?
Yeah.
Why am I with this family? There are reasons for this. I love these people, you know?
Yeah, sure.
It's okay to say so.
We had this thing, and I've said this on the air before, and it all started with my mom. She was always nicer to the strangers. So we started saying the stranger's always right, because you want everyone on the outside to think you totally get where I'm coming
oh,
from,
absolutely.
Though. I mean, and Bill, you mentioned it too, because my mom, she'd be yelling at me or hitting me with the wooden spoon, and then the phone would ring and she'd be like, hello?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the stranger's always right, but that's,
right.
You know, we hold it together all day. So sometimes we are meanest to people in our house.
Right. Which
and that's normal, isn't it?
There's something really adaptive and normal about that, and we have to expect that from our kids, from our spouses, from our significant others. But we have to protect a little time to do the reverse as well and talk about what we appreciate. I love the idea of Jimmy out in the snow and you taking that picture.
It made me feel so good because it was freezing out. We ordered a giant pizza and we all were hunkering in and not going out. And he's out there shoveling twice in one day. And I just took a picture of him because I said, thank you for taking care of us. We didn't even have to go out of the house.
Yeah.
It just was a good feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have to note the good feelings because all year long we tend to bring the lousy feelings home,
yeah.
Which is okay,
right?
As long as we balance it out.
Strange postscript to the story, John.
Yeah.
When he was done at his house, he came and did my driveway, and he made me cry. I just saw him do it. I went, he's protecting us.
And I thought that picture was lovely, too.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. It's Dr. John
Happy
Duffy.
Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, guys.
Let's say, John, people wanted to hear more of you. Is there a podcast or anything like that?
There happens to be a podcast,
Bill.
There is a podcast. It's called Undo Anxiety. You can find it right here at WGN Plus.
Excellent.
Or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.
Right.
That's right.
And now it's going to be you and Frank Thomas doing it together.
Exactly.
So be ready for that.
Who knew?
It's going to be exciting. Thank you, John.
Thanks, guys.
A quick break, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.